And in 2 years in government, I leave the country in better shape than I found it. Yeah. I am proud of everything that we have achieved. To my successor and each of you, I will give my full support. To all colleagues across the House, can I wish you good health and happiness? To all those in the gallery whose lives have been changed or improved by this Labour government, and all across the country who struggle to be seen or heard, you're the reason I came into politics. To my wife and children, I love you. Goodbye.
This is my video update on this Thursday afternoon, July the 16th, coming to you from Nicosia, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with the resignation of Ukraine's defense minister, Mr. Fedorov. He was going to be fired by Le Goblin Vert, but he decided to keep his dignity and not allow Le Goblin Vert to fire him. So he ended up resigning. Now, there is a lot of analysis and a lot of talk as to why Fedorov was going to be fired or why he resigned as defense minister. After all, Fedorov was the tech wonder kid. He was the digital transformation minister before he became defense minister. He was only defense minister for 6 months, but as digital transformation minister, he got in good with all of the U.S. AI military companies, like Palantir and these types of companies. So they got along well with Fedorov, and they liked the fact that Fedorov was defense minister because they could use their AI military killing technology, drone killing technology on the battlefield in Ukraine. So they saw Ukraine as a testing ground for their AI drone military tech. And Fedorov was very, very plugged in, very well liked by these guys. And Fedorov, he took the credit for the whole drone narrative. The tide is turning and the battlefield in the war with Russia has been transformed because of this drone manufacturing revolution, which was spearheaded, run by, managed by Fedorov, the tech wonder kid. And he took credit for all of this. He was credited for all of this. And we know that this is a fiction. And we know this because of our reporting on the Duran. We did a video two, three weeks ago, where me and Alexander, we discussed the whole drone manufacturing narrative, that it was all being manufactured in facilities in Ukraine or in the EU. And we said that most of the drones, most likely, are coming from China, the parts and components. And what is happening is that the EU is buying these parts and components, and they are from China, and they're assembling them in the European Union. And then they slap on the US software, the AI tech, onto the hardware. They ship it off to Ukraine. Ukraine then puts a sticker on these drones, and then they're fired off into Russia. We talked about this 2 to 3 weeks ago, and that's what we said is most likely happening. We actually said that the drones, the parts and components from China, are most likely being shipped to other countries. For example, just an example, Malaysia or the Philippines, something like that. And then the Collective West comes along and buys the parts from there, and then they make their way to the European Union and to Ukraine, where they're then used to attack Russia. We did a whole video on this about 2-3 weeks ago, And yesterday, the Financial Times pretty much confirmed our reporting. They came out with an article yesterday where they said that that the European Union was giving Ukraine the permission to use 6 billion euros to purchase Chinese drone parts and components. The timing of the Financial Times article is no coincidence. As Fedorov is on his way out, as he was about to be fired, the Financial Times published this article basically saying that the whole narrative of Ukraine manufacturing drones, being this big drone powerhouse manufacturer, is fiction. It's all coming from China, pretty much. What we're seeing in the EU or in Ukraine is just the drones being assembled and then putting the US AI tech on top of them. So anyway, getting back to Fedorov. A lot of speculation as to why he was about to be fired and why he resigned. His resignation is actually putting people out onto the streets in Ukraine, in Kiev, in Lvov, and other cities, because of his reputation as being the person in charge of the drone revolution and turning the tide on the war. So there's actually people out on the street who are saying that this is a terrible decision from the Zelensky regime. Why are you getting rid of this defense minister who has turned the tide of the conflict with Russia? You even have Ukrainian Air Force officials who are also resigning because of the dismissal or the resignation of Fedorov. So why is this happening? Why now? Why is this happening? Well, three reasons. Reason number one is because Fedorov was getting a lot of publicity. He was becoming a star, the guy that ushered in the drone technology onto the battlefield. And there's only one star in the Zelensky regime, and we know who that star is. It's Podolyak. It's Podolyak, of course. Podolyak is the star. No, it's Zelensky. Yeah, you think Zelensky's going to let this guy, this tech whiz kid that he appointed as defense minister, he's going to allow him to become the guy who takes all the credit for the drone narrative? No way. So Zelensky definitely wanted Fedorov out. Reason number two, which is being confirmed in much of the Ukraine media, as for why Fedorov is on his way out, is because the military did not like him. Sirsky, that group of the military did not like him. And I'll tell you why they did not like him. They didn't like him because there's a lot of money going into the military in Ukraine. That is where most of the money goes, is in the military budget, right? All the tens of billions, the hundreds of billions from the collective West, they're pretty much directed to the military. So we're talking about a lot of freaking money. You think they're going to let this Fedorov guy control the money flow? Hell no. They're going to want their guy in there. And Fedorov was talking about transforming supply chains. They're not going to allow him to transform supply chains. He was talking about transparency and stuff like that. They said, hell no. No way are we going to allow you to mess around with supply chains, logistics, and transparency. Are you out of your freaking mind? So they wanted him gone, right? He has to go. And to be fair to Sirsky and the Ukraine military, Fedorov was a failure of a defense minister, because the actual conflict on the front line is going horribly for Ukraine. Now, much of this is due to the command, to Sirsky, right? A lot of this falls on him. But as defense minister, he hasn't paid any attention to what's happening in the actual conflict. Konstantinov got captured by Russia. Lyman about to be captured by Russia. I read reports today that Russia is about 6 kilometers now from Kramatorsk. Kramatorsk is going to fall. It's going to fall a lot quicker than we thought. And he's been terrible when it comes to the actual conflict and the front line. What he's been good at is building up this fiction, this narrative of this drone revolution, this drone innovation. This he did very well, even though it was a drone innovation that was coming from China, but still, he packaged it and marketed it really, really well. So the military wanted him gone. And I'll tell you a third reason why Fedorov is on his way out. And it has to do with the hype that he created. He created this myth, this mythos of the drone hype. The tide is turning, as Ursula always says, as the entire collective West says. The tide is turning. The drones are taking the war to Russia. Even Zelensky would say that the drones are changing the dynamics of the battlefield, and we're taking the conflict to Russian territory. And so with the hype came lots of money, lots of interest in drone manufacturing. Ursula started to focus all of the EU money and the EU funds in drone production. The entire EU now is focused on manufacturing drones and creating facilities to manufacture drones. And so what happened is that all of the big money, we're talking big money now, not Palantir Software Tech or that other guy, Lucky, whatever his name is, Lucky Charms or Lucky Palmer, that guy. We're not talking about these guys. We're talking about big money. We're talking about banker money. We're talking about big MIC money. We're talking about EU funds. All the big money now is focused and pouring into the whole drone thing. So all these people, all the globalists, all the Brussels cool kids, Zelensky, all of these guys, you think they're going to allow Fedorov to be the person that is in charge of all of this big money? No freaking way. We're talking about factories all across Europe. We're talking about significant parts of EU member states' budgets, Germany's budget, the UK's budget. All of these countries now are focusing on drones and drone facilities, and they're all getting a piece of Ursula's massive, big funds, which are all focused on drone manufacturing. Even Greece is talking up the whole drone manufacturing thing. And they're going to allow Fedorov to be the guy? No way, man. So they came along and they said, Fedorov, you did a good job. You hyped this thing up. You marketed it perfectly. Now it's time for you to go and to let the big boys come in and control all of the funds, the movement of all of the money. So that's why they were going to get rid of him. And it's no coincidence that at the same day that they were going to get rid of Fedorov, who rolls into town? Who took the midnight train from Poland to Kiev going anywhere? Ursula, of course. And what did Ursula do while in Kiev? Two things. The first thing that happened as she was in Kiev was that she received an Order of Europe Award. Yeah, she received the Order of Europe Award. What's the Order of Europe Award, you may ask? Well, it's a made-up award. Made up. Zelensky made it up in June. At the end of June, he came up with the Order of Europe Award, June 2026. Actually, Wikipedia says it was officially established on the 14th of July, 2026. First award, 15th of July, 2026. So he came up with the idea at the end of June for the Order of Europe Award, and it was officially established 2 days ago. An excuse to get Ursula to Kiev, right? Not that she needs an excuse, but they had to come up with this whole cover story. Order of Europe Award, and she got the Order of Europe Award. There was a ceremony, and Zelensky gave her the Order of Europe Award, and she gave her speech, and Zelensky gave his speech. And then there you have it. So she gets the Order of Europe Award. Complete cover story. We all know that. But the main point of her visit was, at least publicly, what we know about her visit was so that she could ink a deal, a drone manufacturing deal with Ukraine. That's exactly what was announced while she was in Kiev. Von der Leyen and Zelensky signed EU-Ukraine drone deal. What is this EU-Ukraine drone deal, you may ask? We have a France Ukraine deal. We have Trump promising Patriot licenses to Ukraine. Why did Trump promise the Patriot license? Why did he say he would give Ukraine a license to manufacture Patriots? Because of the drone narrative. Trump was told that Ukraine is manufacturing all of these drones, and Trump was impressed. And he said, okay, have a license to manufacture Patriots. Never going to happen. But anyway, all of this hype, all of this momentum is driven by the whole drone narrative. And now you have the EU with these massive funds signing a deal with Ukraine to manufacture drones. But here's the catch. The drones will be assembled and stored in the European Union. They actually say that the innovation to all of this, the option to build and store the drones, will be made available to the EU's territory rather than in Ukraine as a way to provide them with a haven against Russian strikes. The drones will be put together. They will be stored across EU territory, across the bloc's territory, because of the fear that if they were manufactured or assembled or stored in Ukraine, well, of course, the Russians would destroy those drones. What does Ukraine provide to this partnership? According to Ursula, they provide the know-how and the knowledge. Okay, but the storage, Ursula said, is going to be short-term due to the rapid evolution that the technology is experiencing. After 2-3 months, the drones will be transferred to Ukraine or to member states interested in reinforcing their capabilities, particularly on the EU's eastern flank. It's really not a partnership. It's an excuse to funnel all of this money, or to keep all of this money, inside the European Union or within the EU Brussels cool kids' control. And they're going to allow Fedorov to head all of this up. Get the F out of here. They're going to allow this kid to head all of this up. No freaking way. They signed this deal. They put it together as Ursula was in Kiev. And they got the defense minister. They got him out of the way. So now they're going to be in charge of all of this big money, these big facilities that are going to assemble the drones and that are going to store the drones. They keep them for 2 to 3 months. They then send them to Ukraine, or they give them to EU member states, and they go back to manufacturing again. Right, never-ending cycle of money being invested in all of this, because you know the technology moves really fast. It's about a 2-3 month cycle. So even Zelensky, even he said that we are making 10 million drones a year, 10 million, and it will be 20 million, Zelensky said during a ceremony to mark Ukraine's statehood day in the capital's St. Michael's Square. We are making. No one's making it except China. We are assembling 10 million drones, and soon it will be 20 million. So that's what's happening with the whole drone situation, with the whole defense minister situation. And you know who else rolled into town, into Kiev? Took the midnight train from Poland to Kiev. None other than 008 Keir Starmer. Starmer's last trip as prime minister was to Kiev. Big surprise. No one is surprised. So Starmer officially is going to Kiev so that he could tell Zelensky that you have Britain's support. cast iron support. That's why he is making a trip all the way from London to Kiev so that he could tell Zelensky personally that you have our support. He couldn't call him up. He couldn't do a Zoom call. He couldn't do a Telegram or a WhatsApp call, FaceTime. Hello, Green Goblin. Hello, Mr. Stum. How you doing, bro? I just want to tell you that you have the UK's cast iron support as Burnham is about to take over as Prime Minister. Nothing is going to change. We will continue to funnel money to you, Mr. Zelensky. Thank you very much, Mr. Stummer. You're a very good friend. I'm going to miss you. Now put me on the phone with Mr. Burnham. No, he couldn't do all of this on the phone. No, he had to travel to Kiev to tell him about the UK's cast iron support. What a load of bullocks. All kinds of other funny business is going on, man. Anyway, Stummer, he gave his final speech to the British Parliament. His final speech. And this guy Stummer, he took a freaking victory lap. He took a victory lap. No joke. No freaking joke. He said, "I am proud to leave this country in a better shape than I found it." Clown world. This guy has the freaking cojones to get up in front of the parliament, in front of the British people, and to take a victory lap and to actually state that he is leaving Britain in a better position than when he found it. If it's in such a great position, if it's doing so well, then why the F are you leaving? Right? If it's doing better than it was 2 years ago, why are you going? If anything, people would be wanting you to stay on. Unbelievable. When Stummer said that, I was just like, this is peak delusion. Peak freaking delusion. So what's happening in the conflict? Big Russian missile strikes into Kiev. So as Ursula was in Kiev, as Stummer was in Kiev, the Russians did launch a big missile strike into Kiev. They hit military facilities. We also have the Russian military effectively blockading Odessa. What you have now is pretty much a blockade of Odessa. Nothing is really getting through. Nothing is allowed to get through. Keep in mind that Ukraine has one real port. That's it. If you blockade Odessa, there's really not much that Ukraine can do when it comes to getting stuff in or out via rail. You can go via rail from Poland, from Constanta in Romania. If you're going to use a sea route, you would have to go to Romania, and then from Romania via rail into Ukraine. So I would not be surprised if Russia starts dismantling the rail system, especially the system towards Romania as well. And that's the situation with what is happening, the strikes into Ukraine from Russia. Big strikes from Ukraine, drone strikes from Ukraine, with the collective West targeting and the Intel and all the AI stuff that did a lot of damage to the Russian ports in Rostov. Some accounts have it at 100 ships and tugboats were actually damaged in the Sea of Azov. A very big strike. And now Russia, they are going to completely shut off the port of Odessa. And they'll fix whatever they need to fix in the Sea of Azov and in the Rostov port. Russia will fix it, but if they keep this blockade on Odessa going, and then if they go after the railways into Romania, the Ukraine economy is going to sink very, very fast. So the European Union, they have pretty much pushed through the approval, legislation or approval, whatever you want to call it, where new Ukrainian military-aged men and women who want to flee Ukraine and make it to the EU, they will be turned back. They will be rejected, and they will be sent back to Ukraine to be sent to the front lines. This was at the urging of the Zelensky regime. Alexander Stubb says that Ukraine won, but the Ukraine regime is begging the European Union to not allow military-aged men and women to enter the European Union. And so the EU is going to help Zelensky to send those people back to Ukraine. Now, any Ukrainians that are already in the European Union that managed to get out before this legislation, before this approval, they're safe, at least until 2028. They're not going to be sent back to Ukraine. So we're just talking about new citizens, new Ukrainians who want to get out of Ukraine. They will not be able to make their way to the EU, which means that they will probably try to make their way to Russia, right? Where else? Where else are they going to go? Well, it's dry, huh? The heat. So the Irish government, they have the rotating EU presidency, and the Irish Justice Minister, Jim O'Callaghan, said that the extension provides stability for those who found safety in the EU. So he's talking about those already in the EU. They will be safe. At the same time, he stressed that we also want to make sure Ukraine can defend itself, adding that this is why the temporary protection scheme respects Ukraine's legitimate needs. That is some serious politician speak right there. Politician talk. Nasty stuff. What a nasty statement. Ukraine needs men. Ukraine needs women. They can't allow any more people to leave the country. And basically, the Irish Justice Minister is saying, okay, we will send those people. We will turn those people back and send them to the front lines. Agreed, Zelensky. That's what's needed to continue this war. We're with you. That is what the Irish Justice Minister basically is saying. So shifting gears, we had the Vice President, J.D. Vance, appearing on Joe Rogan, the Joe Rogan Experience, which was a smart move. I think it was a good move by Vance to appear on Joe Rogan, because he was the face of the MOU with Iran. He was the lead person. The Trump administration put him out in front with the MOU in Iran, and he's the one that actually traveled to Islamabad, to Pakistan, and got the deal signed. And now that the MOU has collapsed, the forces against Vance in the Trump administration and in D.C., they are going to try and pin this all on Vance, the collapse of the MOU. So it's good that he got on Rogan, and he's trying to get out in front of the collapsing MOU and the restarting of the war with Iran. That was a good move. We'll see if it works. And he also talked to Joe Rogan about Epstein. And the vice president said that the Trump administration, they absolutely mishandled the Epstein files. He said that Pam Bondi was putting out all kinds of mixed messaging. We had a folder with everything in it, then we don't have a folder with everything in it, and we're going to release everything, but we're not going to release everything. Vance basically told Rogan, what we should have done is just released it all right away, not wasted time, get the redactions done, and just release the whole thing. But we completely mismanaged the release of the Epstein files, or at least what was released of the Epstein files. The communication on it was terrible. And Vance also talked about Epstein's connections to U.S. intel as well as Israeli intel. He clearly had connections to the highest levels of American intelligence, Vance told Rogan on his podcast on Wednesday, before adding he clearly had connections to the highest levels of Israeli intelligence. Epstein seemed to be connected to the elements of the Israeli deep state that were left of center. Like, I've always found that fascinating. It wasn't like he was super connected to the right of center of Israeli politics. A lot of people talking about that statement from Joe Rogan, which should surprise no one, really, that Epstein had connections to both intel agencies, if there even is much of a difference between the two intel agencies. That's not really a surprise, but it's interesting to listen to the Vice President of the United States come out and say it. So Trump on Iran. I wonder what kind of creatures are lurking. Lizards, snakes, spiders. I wonder. Frogs. Frogs are down there. Frogs are down there. So Trump on Iran. The Wall Street Journal is saying that Trump is being briefed by various officials on expanding military operations. Options include intensifying strikes, seizing Karg Island with U.S. ground forces, and bombing the nuclear-linked Pixax mountain tunnel complex. Ah, the Pixax complex. The new location where Iran is rebuilding their nuclear capabilities, according to the intel agencies. Very difficult to get into Pixax Mountain. Sounds like a movie, doesn't it? Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's not by, it's not by chance that it sounds like a movie. That's no coincidence. The battle for Pixax Mountain, starring Volodymyr Zelensky and introducing Justin Trudeau. Yeah, so they're talking about some sort of operation against Pixax Mountain. Very deep tunnels, Pixax Mountain. They're talking about ground troops, but not U.S. ground troops. Other people's ground troops, maybe Kurds. Maybe they're going to jump into this conflict this time around, though I doubt it. Anyway, Trump is being briefed on these options to expand the war. But at the same time, Trump is saying that Iran called him a while ago and they want to make a deal. He came out with that statement again the other day. They're calling him and they want a deal. Which is an interesting statement from Trump because he's making this statement close to the weekend. Kind of has it all turned around, it seems, right? You're supposed to come out with this statement that Iran called and they want the deal on Sunday evening or very, very early Monday morning before the markets open. What you usually say on Friday, President Trump, is that there's going to be no deal and that we're going to launch strikes into Iran over the weekend as the markets, right after the markets close. So I don't know. Everything seems to be turned around for some weird reason. What Iran did do is that they released a U.S. citizen that had been detained in Iran, and Trump thanked them for that. He actually posted about this on Truth Social. He said, Iran has allowed an American citizen who was wrongfully detained in December of 2024 under the presidency of Sleepy Joe Biden to leave the country. She is now safely outside of Iran and in good condition. The United States of America appreciates this gesture of goodwill by Iran, President Donald J. Trump. That's a very interesting development. Is this some sort of a move to try and get back to the MOU? Definitely. Without a doubt. Will that happen? Probably not, but we'll see. We will see. Interesting development there. Dropsite reported that when Vance was meeting in Islamabad with Pakistan, with the mediators, and Iran was also there, that Iran gave him a message telling Vance that Kushner and Witkoff, actually warning Vance that Kushner and Witkoff were abusing their inside access to negotiation. According to Dropsite News, a senior Iranian official said Tehran privately told Vance the pair were exploiting the negotiations for financial gain. The Trump administration says it never happened. Now, this could be a move by Iran to try and create division in the Trump administration between the Vance wing and the Kushner Witkoff wing. So this may not have happened, but this may be some tactic from Iran to sow division. Or it may be true, right? Maybe Witkoff and Kushner, when they were negotiating with Iran, it was all about the trade, all about making money, manipulating the markets. That could also have happened. We don't know. The Trump administration is saying it never happened. That is what they're saying. But if it did happen, if that was indeed the case, then you would imagine that whatever Witkoff and Kushner were doing with Iran, the market stuff that they were doing as they were allegedly negotiating with Iran, they were doing the same thing as they were negotiating in Moscow as well, right? All about business, all about the deals, all about the trades. But once again, the Trump administration is saying this did not happen. What would you expect them to say? But still, interesting reporting from Dropsite News. Let's do a clown world, and we can wrap up today's video. And we will start things off with the UK Telegraph, which has an article with the title, Stockpile Food in Case of Russian Cyber Attack, number 10 to tell public households to be advised on how to prepare for emergencies as threat of conflict rises. I thought this was an old story. Is this an old story that they're bringing up again? I don't know. I remember this story being reported on like a few months ago. Oh, it works. What do you know? Cool. Anyway, Russophobia, be afraid of the Russian cyber attacks. Stockpile on food and all of this stuff. Russia's going to attack, and citizens of the UK need to be prepared, according to the Telegraph. World Cup. We have to talk about the World Cup in this Clown World segment. Here's a message from Piers Morgan as the game between England and Argentina was unfolding. This has been a Tuchel tactical masterclass. Take us home, Thomas, the coach, the manager of England. First half ended 1-0, the UK on top. And the second half, Piers Morgan gets nothing right, by the way. Is there anything that Piers Morgan has predicted or has called right? Like nothing, not even sports. Jeez, Piers Morgan, anyway. He gets everything wrong, like everything. And he still has a popular podcast. But the second half of that game yesterday, of that match yesterday, with a 1-0 lead, Tuchel, I think I'm pronouncing his name correctly. Probably not. I believe is he German? I think so, but anyway, he decided to go full defense. Full defense. He made substitutions, and he called the entire English team back to play defense for the entire second half. Now, if there was 10 minutes left to play and you were up 1-0, that I understand. Okay, I'm going to make substitutions. I'm going to set things up for defending we got 10 minutes to defend and to hold out. That I completely understand. That is the correct move. But a whole freaking half, a whole second part to the match, you're going to go full in on defense, bro, against Argentina, against Messi? Bro, what were you thinking? What kind of message does that send to the English footballers, to the team, that you have no confidence in them to continue to press forward, to continue to try and score a second goal, to continue to attack? Instead, you tell them to go all the way back and just defend against Argentina? And sure enough, what happened was Argentina scoring two goals because they were given a whole half to just pretty much play right in front of the English goal, of the English box. The whole half was them just playing in front of the English goal. And the score could have ended up being 4-1 because there was one goal that hit the post. There were two shots that actually hit the goal post. It could have ended up 4-1. Instead, it ended up 2-1. An amazing assist from Messi for the second goal. And that's it. I could not believe his decision. And I think everyone is just scratching their heads trying to figure out what is this guy doing? I heard analysis from Rooney and from other former footballers for the English team, like stars back in their day, and they're saying the same thing. They're saying, dude, why would you have us play defense for an entire half against a team like Argentina? Why would you not try to score a second goal? Why would you not try to attack? Why would you not try to press forward? Why do you just concede the match like that? Anyway, I could go on for hours and hours on that match. Congrats, Argentina. What can you say? They really, really pressed forward in the second half. I mean, they were taking many, many shots on goal, and they eventually got two in there. So that is that's that. I don't understand the moves that he made. I don't think anyone understands the moves that he made, but we have Argentina and Spain in the final. And here's some stats on Argentina. Argentina's goals through the World Cup, or at least the final stages of the World Cup, versus Cape Verde. They scored in the 111th minute. Egypt in the 92nd minute, stoppage time. Switzerland in the 112th minute. And England in the 92nd minute, stoppage time. They haven't led after 90 minutes of any knockout game, and they're in the final. That's a pretty incredible statistic. So anyway, that is the video, everybody. TheDuran.locals.com. We are on X and Rumble and Telegram. We are also on Substack. Go to the Duran shop, pick up some merch, 26% off summer sale. Definitely check that out. And to everyone that is liking this video, thank you so much for smashing that like. Thank you to everyone that is subscribing to this channel. And thank you so much to everyone that is obliterating the hype button. I am going to end the video there. Take care.